for most of my adult life, until maybe the last 15 years or so. But for most of my adult life, I was a youth leader. I did it in a volunteer way in my church when I started teaching school. And then I did it in almost every church I served. I always got to be the youth leader. And it's one of the best parts of my life. And one of those things that happens, and I didn't even know it was going to happen when I made this kind of my sermon starting. I got a phone call from one of my former youth group kids, and she wanted to come up, and she came up yesterday, and we spent about 5 hours together. It was so delightful. And part of why she wanted to come was that it had been about 2 years since we'd seen each other, and she just wanted to come up and say hi and hang out, play with some amazing dogs, which she was awesome, let me just tell you. Amy, not necessarily the dogs. They behaved okay. But one of my favorite things to do with youth groups, especially high school youth groups, was to take retreats and to go camping in the summer. I loved it. I was so fortunate in my very first church where I was as an adult when I was teaching school and not a pastor, I had this youth group, senior high youth group, that was filled with Boy Scouts. Awesome. If you ever go into youth ministry, if you ever want to lead a youth group or a bunch of kids and you think that camping might be in your future, find yourself some Boy Scouts, because I can't tell you how wonderful it is. They get excited about building the fire, and they get so excited about it that at the end of the night when we put the fire out, they get it ready for the next morning so it's all ready to go, and they know how to do it. And some of my best moments were those times when we really probably should have been in our tents and been in our sleeping bags and trying to sleep, but we were sitting around the campfire and we were just sharing. Oftentimes, we would start by sharing jokes, but the longer we sat and the more we listened to each other, we heard stories from each other, from all of us, the adults that helped, the kids that were there. We heard stories of fears and hopes. There's something about the light of a campfire that mesmerized us. It is the best. Now, to be fair, I've had some amazing campfires not made by Boy Scouts, probably Girl Scouts, but it does work. But when I think of the light, when I think of fire, my first thoughts go back to those times when I've been able to sit around a campfire with a bunch of kids, with a bunch of friends, with a bunch of adults, and we just talk about our hopes and our dreams. The light brings that out to us. It's the light. The scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Hear the words of the Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "No, I am not." "Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said this, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's light. It's all about the light. In the midst of this Sunday of joy, the light is so important. I love this, the image that you see up on the screens right now, because while we see the Holy Family in the middle, my mind immediately goes to that star of light. And John is saying, I'm here to testify that the light is coming. And that's like the capital L light. The light is coming. I grew up in the 70s. I know that's pretty obvious and clear. But I remember when the show Godspell first came out. If you've seen has anybody seen Godspell or heard it? The very beginning, it's John who is coming on the scene, and he is singing that powerful anthem, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. In other words, get ready. Life is going to change. And that's what happens to us. Yes, definitely in Advent, but I would say that that's what happens to us each and every time we reconnect with Jesus. And that's what happens to all of us. It doesn't mean that there's ever a time when we say, oh, I don't even know who Jesus is. Well, maybe there are some times we say that. But there are moments in all of our lives when we think, I know Jesus, but I need to know Jesus better. The light is coming. Prepare for the way of the Lord. Get ready. And then John becomes the witness. John gets to tell everybody else just exactly what he said here. When they questioned him, are you this? Are you this? Are you this? He said, no. But one who is coming after me is. Prepare the way of the Lord. Most of us know what happens when we don't prepare. Most of us know what happens when we think, you know what? I've done this before. I'm just going to wing it. Whether it is preparing a big, huge meal, whether it's preparing just a little snack, whether it's doing a presentation in front of lots of people, whether it is just making sure that you do all of the things that are right in your car to keep it running. Whatever it is that God tasks us with, those times when we do not prepare, when we don't get ready, when we don't anticipate the light that's coming, well, sometimes we just crash and burn. John knows who he is, and he knows who he is not. I am not the light. I love those series of questions. So, tell us who you are. I'm not the Messiah. I'll tell you who I'm not. So, are you Elijah? No. No. Are you a prophet? No. Who are you? I believe that that's the task of each one of us. That when somebody comes to us to say, boy, there's just something about the way you work in your workplace that makes me want to follow you. And we say, you know, I was taught by someone else. I learned from experience. I learned from the people around me. There's something about it when somebody comes up to us and says, oh, you know, I love the fact that you are always joyful, even in the midst of tumult. What is it, me? It's not me. I'm not the one. And for anybody that knows well, for anybody that knows me well, I'm truly a hot mess. And my good friends in this room and in this town can testify to that. I crumble in a heartbeat, and I think, oh my gosh, how are we going to get through this? And I have to sit down and take a minute and remember how the steps that get us. I'm not the light, but I can reflect the light out. John made his identity and connection with Jesus. I am not him. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not a prophet, but I can bring the light. I can reflect the light. I am not the light, but I can show you where it shines. I can tell you how I got it. So the question for us on this day, on this third Sunday of Advent, is, can each of us locate our identity with Jesus? What is it about your relationship with Jesus that says, oh, that's why I am that way? For John, it was the fact that at this point in time, he was a leader and he was the mouthpiece that said, that would tell everyone, prepare the way of the Lord, get ready. That was his job. Because of who Jesus is. Well, the same happens for every single one of us. Our identity is founded in our relationship with Jesus. And all of us know people, and sometimes we have been the people that haven't had the relationship with Jesus. And it became apparent. It became apparent of our hearts that were broken all the time and that we're always sorrowful and we're always questioning, what is going on? Can we locate our identity with Jesus the way that John could? It isn't me. It isn't me. But I can point you to the way of the person responsible. So this text tells us much more about who John was. He was a witness, he was a voice, and then in the end of 27, he tells us that he is unworthy. That's who I am. I am a witness to who Jesus is, I'm a voice for Jesus, and I am unworthy. I can't be who you think and who you say. So, we see that for ourselves, but we also see that for our church. For the church of Jesus Christ, no matter who we are and no matter where we are and no matter what denomination or if we are not a denomination, the church is today's witness. We witness in public, which doesn't mean necessarily preaching on street corners, but it becomes the place where people who don't even really know who God is know that this is the place I can go to get help. If you were here with us yesterday, you got to witness to that. Jim and Sherry Kaltenmark did a fantastic job of helping us be a witness to the light of Christ as we helped our neighbors who just needed a little extra boost at Christmas time. The church needs to be the place where the public knows they have the light of Christ. And it's a light that is so compelling that I want that as well. The church is a place where we can be certain, just like John. I can tell you what I do know. I certainly don't know everything, but I can tell you how God saved me through the love of Christ. And the church gets to tell that story. Today, while we're all gathered here, it's the time for us to think about how is it that we are the reflection of the light of Christ? How is it that we are certain? And the third quality that John modeled so well, the church is the place where we learn to be humble. You know, we know that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The church says the same thing. We can do all things not on our own, not through our own volition, but through how Christ strengthens us. So, again, verse 22 and verse 23 of the scripture today. John said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. As a church, that is what we proclaim. But we do it in humility, we do it in humbleness, and we do it as a reminder that it's not about me. It certainly is not about me personally. It certainly is about how Christ has moved through us as the body of Christ, how we are able to share, and we direct people away from ourselves and we direct them to Jesus, just like John did. Advent is sort of a confusing time. It certainly is confusing to me, and I've been in the church for my entire life, because sometimes I want to get caught up in the things that are happening, and I forget that the church has set aside the season of Advent for us to prepare, for us to get ready, for us to be reminded of who we are and who we are not. But mostly, Advent is the time when we can prepare our hearts for the birth of our Savior. Advent means the arrival. The arrival. I think of everyone I know who has prepared for somebody new into their family, be it through the birth of a baby, through adoption. I think of all of my friends who have foster children and how they prepare their home for a foster child to come in. I think of all of my friends who prepare their home for somebody else in their family to come in because they can't live alone. Maybe not forever, but at least not at this time. Advent. It's a time that we anticipate the arrival. And it also is a time when we remember what is the importance of Christ in our lives. So, could Advent possibly be how we adjust our eyes to see the light where there seems to be none? We all know those people who when they hear of a problem, their first instinct is just to crumble. Maybe you have been that. I know certainly there are times in my life when I have been that. When I'm faced with an obstacle or I'm faced with, I'll just tell you the truth. It usually was when I had some big paper due in college or in seminary, and I've waited to the last minute and I'm about to crumble and all these things go through my mind. You know what? I can tell the professor something happened at home and I didn't get it done, and can I have an extension, and can I do you ever do that? No, it's just me. Okay. Well, then learn from my example. It happens to me often, and it happens when I get too preoccupied with everything else, or I just procrastinate and I don't want to deal with something, and so I put it off, and then it comes up to it, and it's time. Advent is the time for us to adjust our eyes to see something that we hadn't seen before, to see something where there seems to be absolutely no hope, where that when we find the way through whatever it is that we're dealing with, and we know that it was God who led us through, we know it was Jesus who took us by the hand and said, don't worry. It may not turn out the way you thought it was, but don't worry. I'm with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's no footnote or no asterisk that when you go down in your Bible that says, unless you really messed up and then forget it, you're on your own. There's none there. You can look in your Bibles and look, there is nothing like that ever. Because our God loves us and knows us so completely. So during this Advent season, when we have another week, and then another week until Christmas Eve, let that be a time for all of us to adjust our eyes. And that doesn't include just our eyes up here, but I love the phrase that reminds us of the eyes of our hearts. How do we adjust the eyes of our hearts to see the possibility of what Christ means? Well, we do it because Jesus showed us how. We do it because John reminds us, get ready because one is coming. One is coming who is so much greater than I. One is coming who is so much greater than all of us combined. Well, I've talked a lot about the light because that seems to be what the scripture is for today. But it connects with joy. One of my favorite new authors, and she's relatively new in the world of authorship. One of my favorite new authors is Kate Bowler. Kate Bowler just happens to be a professor in a very prestigious divinity school someplace on the east side of the country. She might be at Duke, I don't know. She is. Kate Bowler has an amazing life story. She's very young. Her child, her only child, is about 9 years old. And when he was three, actually that makes him a little bit older, but when her child was two or three, she started noticing parts of her body that weren't working right. And she ended up in the hospital, and she ended up in a very prestigious hospital, and they couldn't find it. They knew it was cancer, and they knew that she couldn't survive it, that she was going to die. And for a mom of a two-year-old, that was almost devastating for her. And so her doctors continued to search and search, and they found a research hospital in Atlanta, Georgia that could help her. And so she went through months and months and years of having to go and be treated for a day and come back knowing that next month she would do the same thing. But eventually, the doctors won, and they defeated the cancer. And Kate Bowler would say, what that did to me was to make me realize, number one, that this incredible faith I had in Jesus before I got sick got a little shaky when things looked bleak. I couldn't imagine anything worse than thinking that these are my last days. I was a new mom. I was a relatively new wife. And so she learned to cope by writing and reading and learning. And in one of her books, she says this about joy. Joy is not the absence of fear or disbelief or uncertainty or sorrow. Let me read that again. Joy is not the absence of fear or disbelief or uncertainty or sorrow. In fact, joy exists despite all of the reasons why it should not. Joy exists despite all of the reasons why it should not. I think sometimes we have this idea that joy means everything is perfect. Everything works out just like in a Hallmark movie. Everything comes together the way we wanted it to. And yet, Kate reminds us, and God reminds us, that joy isn't the absence of fear. It's not the absence of uncertainty. It's not the absence of sorrow. All of those things are part of our lives, and God put them there. And we get to learn how to come through to the other side. In fact, joy exists despite all the reasons why it shouldn't. This Advent, as you think of your relationship with Christ, as you think of our place in our city as a church, do it with joy. It doesn't mean that we won't have issues and problems. It doesn't mean that everything goes right. It means that even in the midst of a mess, we see the light. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.